Hour number three of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, Marquise Munson behind the glass. Glad to have Munson back today.
Thank you.
You know, we need to figure this out because I call him Marquise. And does anybody else call you Munson on the air? Or is that just your own?
I do both. It's every now and then.
Other guys did. They did at first. So.
Like, should we call you the same thing? Should we agree on, you know, both calling you Munson or both calling you Marquise?
I mean, yeah, just Munson's fine. You know, one name is perfect, like Beck. So we can.
So that's
can
your one name.
Yeah. So we can stick to the one name thing. Like we can go with that. Like so, Munson's fine.
Okay. So Munson is your Madonna.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Munson, I got to get used to that because I just call you Marquise. You know.
I mean, that's fine. You can call. Look,
we can go all last name on this show if you want.
I mean,
Rexroad Munson.
Yeah, I mean, okay. We could do that. We call you Sexy Rexy. We got to call you Sexy Rexy.
I mean,
yeah,
Ultimate Predator even texted in calling you Sexy Rexy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, I'll take that, believe me. You know, especially with my hair getting to the flowing feathered mop of beauty it is.
Yeah,
I think it fits more now.
Sexy Rexy and Manly Stanley or something.
Wow.
Manly Stanley.
I don't know what made me feel better, that comment he just made or Travis Tritt. I mean, that's a tough draw for me.
Yeah, it's been a good hour.
It's been
you.
A good hour for me. Thank you,
Hunter. It's better than calling him off-brand version of, what did I say?
Chris Pratt.
It was Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he called me like the Parks and Rec version of Chris Pratt.
Which Parks and Rec?
Wow.
which that's not a bad compare. Like Chris Pratt is a cool dude, man.
I like Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Yeah. Man, Chris Pratt is an awesome dude. That's why I called
Chris Pratt.
You know, Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt. I didn't like.
Could have called me like Jurassic World.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to because that movie stinks.
You got to get in the gym a little bit.
I know.
You just came out and said it.
No, but I'm just saying Chris Pratt. You know, pretty different from Parks and Rec. A little doughy.
Well, that was kind of my point.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Well, I was a little subtle with it.
It's okay, but I'm just saying now he's all like rocked up like for Guardians of the Galaxy. That's okay. Yeah. It's all right if you – hey, man, you went and built cabinets after the show yesterday.
And see, this is why he needs to take the compliment because like Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt was awesome. I don't like other Chris Pratt. He ruined the galaxy. He's the reason why Thanos almost ended the world.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, is it a spoiler alert?
I mean, if you haven't seen that through this quarantine,
you're
not going to watch it.
Yeah, if you have not seen Avengers at this point, you're not going to watch it anyway. So it's just spoiler alert. Yes,
yeah, I think you're fine talking about that.
So it's your fault, but not Parks and Rec Chris Pratt because he was just chilling.
He's just chill.
He's funny.
That's the key.
Maybe I can be like the perfect combination of funny Chris Pratt, but also I probably do need to go to the gym a little bit. Maybe I'll get on that.
But again, you are out. What'd you do yesterday after the show?
I went to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and helped remove and replace exterior doors.
Yeah,
in 95 degree heat.
So, I think you're on your way, man.
Yeah,
doing better than me. I played 2K yesterday.
There you go.
I did go play some hoops, a little full court with my son. So,
you can still get up and down the court. Look at Rexroad. I don't even think I could do that.
Full court.
That's nice.
He had to make sure he put emphasis on it. Full court.
That's the only kind of workout I can tolerate. So
okay. Speaking of workouts, Titans training camp begins today officially. A whole bunch of stretching going to be happening for the next two or three weeks, Rexroad. It doesn't quite have the same feel to it. Like, it doesn't feel like Titans training camp is starting today. Maybe that's just me. But knowing that there's not going to be any preseason games, knowing that actual on-the-field football-styled workouts are not going to take place for the next few weeks here. It doesn't quite have the same vibe to it, but it's still good for the soul to hear the words, Titans training camp is opening back up today.
Absolutely. It's very different. Like you said, there will be, I think, football is August 14th. I'll have to look that up, but it's right around there.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's getting a chance. Well, it's testing. It's making sure everybody's okay. It's you know, getting that all squared away. Big ramp up in terms of, you know, working out and getting ready for football activities and then football activities. Normally, we'd be talking about there'd be a press conference today with a bunch of people, and then I think fans would be out there tomorrow watching camp. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. We will get Mike Vrabel today. He will talk, and I believe that's it. You know, Mike Vrabel, and then later in the week, some players and things like that. It's going to be, you know, it's spread around too, and a lot less stuff just because there's just not much to talk about right now,
right,
too.
Yeah.
And the primary topic is not necessarily one that everybody in the NFL wants to just. You know, it's not like, oh, we got to get more about this COVID stuff out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about this. You know, it's the number one issue, it's the number one thing, and that will be a matter of discussion with Mike Vrabel today. But it's also, again, it's sort of like with all of it, it's like, hope it works out. Hope these guys
well.
Are staying safe and are testing negative, and we can carry it on and move forward.
Well, we've talked a lot about the protocols the NFL is going to have to put in place. I want to put that on hold for a second. Let's just talk specifically on the field about the Titans. What do we think expectations for them this season should be? Assuming that things go well and they can play an entire season, what should the expectations be? Because I can tell you what the expectations from most fans are going to be. And maybe I shouldn't say most fans, but a lot of fans. They're going to look at what happened last year once Ryan Tannehill took over. They're going to look at the fact that they steamrolled through the playoffs and got to the AFC Championship game, and that's going to be where the bar is. They're going to judge it by they got to get back to the AFC Championship game at least and hopefully at least be more competitive with either Kansas City or Baltimore, whoever it is, and get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That's exactly what happened after the Predators made it to the Cup Final. That was the bar. Anything less than that is deemed a failure. I'm not so sure that's fair for this group. I think, you know, winning a division and getting into the playoffs, even if you don't get back to the AFC Championship game, I'd still say that's a pretty good year for this Titans team. What do you say?
Yeah, I think you just hit on at the end there. Win the division. It's been a long time since the Titans won this division. They've had four straight 9-7 years. They've had three playoff wins in that time. The run you mentioned, really amazing couple of wins at New England and Baltimore to get to Kansas City and have a chance there up 17-7. You were 25 minutes of football earning your way to the Super Bowl, and then Patrick Mahomes happened. But I think you win the division. And the problem with that this year is it doesn't mean nearly as much, because does that mean you're going to be playing in front of a raucous Nissan Stadium crowd in January? That's the whole thing with the division. You know you're getting a home playoff game. This
yeah.
may not matter to get a home playoff game, but still, win the division. That's you start there. I mean, the tournament, wild things can happen. And, of course, I think this team can get back to the AFC Championship game if things break well for it. I don't think that that's unrealistic or unreasonable. I think a lot of people around the NFL look at the Titans like, okay, they had this lucky little run, and they're a 9-7 team. So let's calm it down. And that's fine, but remember, they were a 9-3 team going to Kansas City with Tannehill.
Right.
I've never seen a team, either on offense or defense, I cannot recall a side of the ball within one season looking so different in the same season. They were about as bad as it was in the NFL offensively, and then they were on a really short list of the best offenses in the same year.
Yeah.
But that's why you can't just dismiss 9-7, they made a little run, great. No, but they were better than 9-7. They were a pretty darn good team that I thought had a great chance to go win at New England. Now, I don't think anybody had him beating Baltimore. Not many people did. That was a crazy night, and you know Baltimore would love to get revenge for that one at some point. Well, they play in the regular season, but, you know, in the playoffs.
Right.
But win the division. Win the division and put yourself in position to make a run, and I think that's the expectation.
Look, it's easy to sit here now in late July, almost August, and feel comfortable with the offense, feel comfortable with the foundation the Titans have laid. But you also got to look around in the AFC. Kansas City's not going anywhere. They're going to be really good. Baltimore, I think, is better this year than they were last year. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's going to have the same type of year, but I like a lot of the Calais Campbell going there. I really like. I just like the makeup of the Ravens. Those are probably the two best teams in the AFC that you're going to have to deal with, and that you've really got to keep your eye on in terms of what it's going to take to get to the Super Bowl. as constructed with the losses on defense, specifically Logan Ryan, do you think the Titans have enough not only to score with Kansas City and score with Baltimore, but also hold off Mahomes and or Lamar Jackson enough to win those games?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they had a great plan for the Baltimore game defensively. Yeah. You know, that in that game, you know, David Long had to play because Jaylen Brown was hurt, and David Long was just tremendous in that game. And it was a very different kind of defensive game plan against an offense. No one else sees anything like that offense in the NFL, and they did a great job. Can they do that again? I think it's possible. You know, obviously the Baltimore would have counters for it, and look, there were a couple passes that Lamar Jackson missed early that could change the way that game goes.
Yep.
Kansas City, I look at that like just go score 40.
You got to score, yeah.
Like you've got to find your way to get some stops against them. And again, this is where we talk about the Jadeveon Clowney discussion. I have a hard time with anyone who doesn't think that you go get him and you might get another stop or two in a game like that, just because you just have another guy who is a problem for people. And maybe it's not worth a lot of money for someone who gets like 7 sacks on the year, but I still think he's a difference maker on defense. But right now, as constructed, you mentioned Logan Ryan. Jarrell Casey's a loss. I mean, even Wesley Woodyard having a third inside linebacker you feel good about,
right,
now you don't have him. I mean, they're going to have some people step up. That's why you bring new people in. And Dean Pease is a huge loss. So that's the question. But I think probably in both of those games, if they happened, hey, offense, counting on you.
Yeah.
Don't you know, don't punt. Even though Brett Kern's great, you don't want to see Brett Kern much in those games to have a chance.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What are your expectations for the Tennessee Titans as they head in to this season? Give us your calls. Give us your text messages at 615-737-1025. We'll continue the Titans discussion on the other side of the break. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson. Little Pink. I love me some Pink. She's good. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the only one who likes Pink.
Is this because of the one word thing? Are you playing all one word artists now? Like Munson, Madonna, yeah. Pink?
Yeah, Cher is coming up next, I there guess.
Beck, Cher. Nice. That's right up my alley.
Prince.
At my age.
I play some Prince, too.
By the way, Prince, so this just got shown to me recently, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when George Harrison went in, have you guys ever heard this?
Yeah.
Prince, it's Tom Petty singing my guitar, but Prince guitar solo, unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody out there who hasn't heard it, like, find it on YouTube. Prince on the guitar. He is absolutely one of the greatest guitar players to ever live. I'm telling you.
I believe you.
Unbelievable.
I believe
just
you.
Destroyed it.
Talking Titans and expectations heading into this season. Got a text in on the text line. Says, my expectations are to win more than 9 games and host a home playoff game. Our good friend Bob on Twitter has also tweeted in. Says 11-5 is the bar for him. I think a lot of people.
I think the first one's probably a little bit more realistic than that.
You know, 11-5?
More than 9 is at least 10. Yeah. So they're only, you know,
it's just one more.
11-5, yeah. That's probably going to take 11-5 thereabouts. 10-6, 11-5 to win the division.
Over who? Over who? Who's the top contender?
I think the Colts are.
I think the Colts.
Man.
I think you're going Texans?
Oh, yeah. I think the Texans are as bad as Bill O'Brien is as a GM. I like Deshaun Watson, and I do not like Phillip Rivers.
I just feel bad for Deshaun Watson.
I do, too.
But it's just – but the Colts just added pieces. It's not like they lost anything. They've added Phillip Rivers.
No, I like DeForest Buckner.
They added a better – quarterback, I think, and Phillip Rivers, if he doesn't, you know, make bad decisions towards the end of games. And they've added on defense, and they've also added some young offensive weapons in the draft. So it's hard to say that the Colts could lose this division when they could have won last year. It's just kicking was their main concern.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think most people are picking the Colts. A lot of people are picking the Colts to win the division.
A lot are.
Yeah. I'm surprised how many, but I personally still think the Texans, who keep winning the division, are the biggest threat because of Deshaun Watson. And look, they still have good receivers. They still have playmakers on defense. I worry about their offensive line, and obviously Bill O'Brien being there is a not always a great thing.
Ticking time bomb, yeah. Yes.
It's crazy how we can, how someone can win the division almost every year, and we're still like, can they win this year, though? Right. That's the question.
With a tier one quarterback. We'll get to the tiers later.
Man, Bill O'Brien, I still can't get over that trade. The DeAndre Hopkins trade is just unbelievable to me.
I don't, yeah, it's tough.
Well, the division thanks you for it.
Oh, sure.
I mean, personally.
Titans are loving it.
Does that make T.Y. Hilton the best receiver in the division at this point?
Maybe it's A.J. Brown.
Maybe it is A.J. Brown. Does that make him the best receiver, like, just by default?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, look.
Will Fuller's like, good, I like, too.
When he's healthy.
When he's healthy. I mean, Brandon Cooks has had a huge – I mean, Texans still have some good guys. And, yeah, A.J. Brown might get there, but – well, certainly in terms of achievement, T.Y. Hilton,
sure.
Not even close. But, he's still awfully good. Guy the Titans don't like seeing.
No, I don't know. And Floyd Reese, I think, says this a lot on Jared and the GM. I still don't know that the Titans have ever covered T.Y. Hilton, ever. I'm not sure it's ever happened.
Maybe last year. Struggle enough with Jack Doyle.
I know, exactly. Speaking of receivers, this is a huge year for Corey Davis. And we all know the history there, number 5 overall pick in the draft. He's always going to have that label with him, always going to have those expectations with him as well. I've seen, I think, enough for me to say, I'm not going to speak for you, Joe, but for me to say he's never going to live up to being the number 5 overall pick in the draft. Doesn't mean he can't be a good receiver, because I've seen flashes of him being very good. What expectations do you have for Corey Davis this year that would justify the Titans keeping him around?
Yeah, I think that something like his second year would be good. You know, I still think that certainly he's a guy who could have a 1,000-yard season, be a good, productive, I think really good number 2 receiver in the NFL. And the Titans are now in position where that's what he is,
yeah,
really, and I probably think would be moving forward. So, just health is a huge thing for him, and that's not an excuse, but it's just reality for him, as he's had a bunch of injuries, some big, some just nagging, that have limited his progress. And I just, like, you can, if you want, you can go out there with Corey Davis and put together a, and you could probably do this with a lot of players, but like, you got a substantial amount of footage of Corey Davis looking like a stud number 1 receiver in the NFL. He's had moments. Think back to 2018. Again, Stephon Gilmore traveled with him, and he torched him.
Yep.
Think about that Eagles game, same year. That was the year it was like, oh, Corey Davis. And going into last year, it was like, is this the year he takes a step? And now it's like, okay, well, can he be a good 2? You know, of course they weren't going to pick the option up on him. And so then that also brings up the question of, what if he does have a good year? Does he then say, no, I'm going somewhere else? I don't know. But I think Corey Davis is still a very talented player. He has the intangibles that you want, and people will laugh about blocking with receivers. But in this offense, you think that doesn't matter? It absolutely matters, and you can go find some Derrick Henry runs that are much shorter without Corey Davis on the field out in front. So – all in all, he's a good football player. I think realistically, yeah, he should be able to get 60-plus receptions and 800-plus yards. I think that's, even in this offense, I think that's absolutely realistic.
I do wonder, though, like, you know, Tannehill comes in, immediately has chemistry with A.J. Brown. Immediately, Jonnu Smith, his play starts to take off. That never really happened with Corey Davis, with Ryan Tannehill. It kind of leaves me perplexed as to why that is, when it happened with so many other guys.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think, you know, I mean, even with A.J. Brown, when teams started to pay more attention to him, there were some games where I think Tannehill could have let it rip. Like, there were some moments where it's like a QB and receiver on the same wavelength, that ball just gets thrown, and it wasn't there.
Yep.
But again, it was also really early, and it was still really early with Tannehill and Davis. Now we're coming into a season. I think the Titans are in a better position than a lot of teams with all the continuity, but there's something that maybe those guys could have gotten together, thrown whatever in the offseason, didn't happen. A lot of stuff like that didn't happen. I think Tannehill said he did throw with Jonnu Smith. I believe that's right, down in
Florida, I think.
Was it in Florida or Texas?
So.
Yeah, but it's a good point, though. It never seemed like he and Davis really had any great chemistry. So if they can develop that and A.J. Brown can keep coming, that offense just could be a nightmare for teams in so many ways. And Corey Davis taking a step and being healthy is part of that.
When we come back, we're going to dive back into the MLB discussion surrounding the Miami Marlins and the COVID-19 outbreak. We're going to have Bob Nightingale from USA Today join us. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, and it's been a crazy 24 hours in the Major League Baseball. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in Bob Nightingale, who covers Major League Baseball for USA Today, does outstanding work with USA Today. Bob, thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us today. We appreciate it.
That's true. My pleasure.
So, Bob, we knew at some point an outbreak like what's taken place with the Miami Marlins could be possible with Major League Baseball returning to play. I think a lot of people are concerned that it happened this quickly. How concerned are you that it happened this quickly with the Marlins and that MLB is already having to deal with a situation like this less than a week into play?
Well, this was a fear that once the players started traveling and the planes and trains and buses, everything else, hotels, that this could happen. It did. The Marlins went to Atlanta before going to Philadelphia. So who knows when they got it? It's very possible they got in Atlanta during a rain delay when everybody's kind of sitting tight in a dugout where there was no social distancing. So we don't know for sure. Still waiting back more test results. Some of the Marlins won't be playing tonight either. Maybe tomorrow.
So Bob, how does this make you feel about things moving forward? I mean, I don't think anyone's surprised that a situation like this pops up. I guess to me, the things that stand out about this situation is how the Marlins handled it, one, which was, I don't think, how they should have handled it. But then just the fact that it came so early. I mean, does this alter at all how you feel about how baseball is going to navigate this thing through this shortened season?
Well, the outbreak was you hate to see that this early. You can see a more positive test for sure, but not having a team have 11 players from the get-go. Who knows, maybe even 20 by the time it's all said and done. So that worries you. We'll see what isolated case. Now, if it happens to a few teams, then you can't play. So we'll see. But right now, baseball isn't talking about shutting the sport down or suspending it, but there's certainly a much higher level of concern.
Bob, obviously when things like this happen on social media, there's a ton of outrage and reaction and immediate second-guessing, and people point to the NBA and the NHL, which are having great success in their bubbles that they're in. Many people are wondering why MLB isn't in a bubble. Why do you think a bubble in Major League Baseball would or would not work?
Well, it's just, having you can't play. There's no bubble. You can't play in a bubble. You can't be like the NBA where everything's under one roof. The original plan, remember, was to have all the games in Arizona. Well, Arizona is one of the biggest hot spots in the nation. So that would not have worked. And the players didn't want to do it. There's one thing to do it. Do it for a month or two, but not an entire season. Players didn't want to be without their families and friends and everything else. But, the bubble plan, plus being in Phoenix, it's 115 degrees in the summer. Someone would have to play some day games. Nobody wanted a part of it.
How's this changing your life, Bob? I know that in the course of a normal season, I think you'd go to different spots, obviously, cover different stories. But, like, Are you out and about, or are you essentially, you know, doing most things remotely in covering this season?
Yeah, right now I'm out and about. We'll see how it goes. But I was in Chicago for their opening weekend, a couple of the Cubs games, one on the rooftop, you know, and then that over at watch the White Sox on Sunday. Now I'm in Houston. I watched the Astros and Mariners last night, and I watched the Astros and Dodgers for two before hitting the Phoenix for the Diamondbacks home opener.
And what's it been like? What have these scenes been like? How do you feel about even how baseball has sort of constructed these environments?
Yeah, it's a just strange. You're not, you know, part of fun going to a game is seeing people. You know, when you're talking to the players, the managers, the coaches, scouts, you're not seeing anybody. You're just kind of confined to a press box. It's very very eerie, and not nearly as enjoyable. Just, you know, watching a game, you're not even close.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today on the line with us. And Bob, you mentioned the Astros. They've been particularly hit with injuries to their pitchers, and that's been the case for a few teams around the league as well. Why do you think the injuries to pitchers have been so prominent so early into the season?
Yeah, they shouldn't have time to ramp up. You know, it's just a situation where it takes them usually 5 weeks to get ready, 6 weeks, and now they only have 3 weeks. And I think that's what's causing a lot of these injuries. Dusty Baker talked about that last night. Just guys, you know, weren't ready yet to play.
Before all this happened, Bob, the Astros, I think that was probably the number one story in the sports world, right? The outrage over the Astros and how this season would go for them. And obviously part of that is fan reaction, which has been taken out of the equation. But is that energy still there around the league, Bob, in terms of, you know, other teams and I guess how they're feeling about the Astros?
Well, we'll find out tonight. The Dodgers play the Astros, you know, here in Houston. So as I came in, we'll, you know, obviously you can't, it's going to be tough to intentionally throw at someone, certainly start a brawl, because if you're suspended, you know, it's like 3 weeks. So I don't think we'll see that tonight. It'll be interesting to see if there's any exchange of pleasantries or what have you, because these two teams are not like each other.
Bob, what stood out to you through the first few days of play now that Major League Baseball has come back on the field?
Well, just that, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you saw Detroit Tigers beat up at the Cincinnati Reds. Giants came in and, you know, split a series in L.A. It's just, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It just, none of these teams aren't ready yet. And, you know, I think, you know, it's good they're having 16 teams playoffs, because otherwise, I think there would have been some really good teams left out.
Do you think that format will, and I know the playoffs, we've had some wild runs already in the you know, traditional or the most recent formats, but do you think that we might see something really off the wall given this playoff format?
We're going to see some flukes in for sure. I'm not sure, you know, how crazy it will get. I mean, the crazy part will be whoever the healthiest, you know, gets into a playoffs type thing. We'll see if there's any, you know, starters the day of the game, you know, in a playoff game, all of a sudden he tests positive. So you're going to see that type of thing. I don't think we'll see anything real bizarre just because we're going to 16 teams, you know. So and we're going to see some flukes for sure, but I think the real good teams will still make it.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Bob, thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Interesting stuff going on in Major League Baseball right now. Just got a mess on your hands so early. And like Bob said there, I mean, I think this was expected to some degree that this could happen at some point, a situation like what's happened with the Miami Marlins. But to have it happen so early, I think forces you as a league to kind of reevaluate, okay, what are our protocols like when things like Bob said, you know, a rain delay, everybody's crowded together in a dugout. Maybe that's where the Marlins got it. Nobody knows for sure, but maybe that's where they all got together and they spread it. I mean, this is a perfect time, I think, for Major League Baseball to look at these protocols and make sure that, number one, the protocols they have in place are working, and number two, whether or not there are better options out there to avoid situations like this, which is a lot easier said than done,
yeah,
obviously.
Right, right. Like, what more can you do? They've got saliva tests every other day. In baseball, I mean, obviously, they don't have the instant, you know, one time, here's your result right on the spot test. That'd be ideal. But yeah, it's funny because, like, the social distancing thing, and we talk about this with football, oh, can't exchange jerseys, you know, staying apart on the sidelines. Like, in my, it was hard for me to wrap my mind around that because it's like, wait a minute, but if you're going to play, then. But I guess, like, anything that you do, this might randomly not spread it, and this might randomly spread it.
Yeah.
I guess. So you just eliminate every possibility of spreading it, and maybe you luck out because, you know, the guys that were just smashing into each other, they didn't trade jerseys, and that would have been the thing that spread it.
I don't know.
Again, well, like, everybody's trying to get their arms around this thing that just is not willing to let us do that.
No, it's certainly not. And, you know, it gets you thinking, like, how nervous are we about the MLB not being able to finish this season? Because you heard what Bob said there. You know, this is one thing if this is limited to these 12 players and two coaches and that's it, and the tests come back and nobody else has got it. It sucks, but you move on from there. If all of a sudden, like, three or four teams come down with this and it's pretty widespread throughout the locker room, like, you can't play at that point. You've got to completely shut it down for a few weeks. And they don't have a ton of wiggle room anyway with the schedule they've put out there. Like, to me, it makes me nervous about the MLB season actually being completed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I know the NFL season is starting, and I think they'll finish it, but that's where it gets, like, can you actually go all the way through with it and make it through? And again, that's where college football is really dicey. I got to say this on Twitter. Twitter sometimes can be bad. Sometimes it can be amazing.
Yeah.
Our Hawks writer, I'm just going to read his tweet. I spent a few hours in Magic City yesterday and totally understand why at Team Lou 23 wanted wings from a strip club. So, I mean, this is where sports writing can just be, well, it can be magical.
Wow. Like, you're, let's see what
Chris,
you did there.
Go to Magic City.
Was
for
that Chris
several
Kirshner
hours.
That wrote
Chris
that?
Chris Kirshner.
That's my good friend, by the way. Me and Chris Kirshner are great friends.
I think I'd like to.
Small world.
We should see if Chris Kirshner can tell us about Magic City Wings. You know,
I might text him.
Yeah, maybe he should. I might text him
just for, like, hey, give us a quick insight.
I mean, at least send some pics of the wings. Actually, there's an amazing picture of these wings. He wrote something for The Athletic about the wings. So this is journalism.
This is good stuff. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Miami Marlins and the outbreak in Major League Baseball. Also, Albert Breer, NFL reporter for the MMQB, will join us at 9 o'clock. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Munson spinning the tunes behind the glass, a little AC/DC coming through. It's great stuff.
So you told me the last every intro show was, yeah, of course I
Alice
messed
Cooper.
It up. Yeah, that, like, I don't know a lot of Alice Cooper, you know, school's out, no more Mr. Nice Guy. That was an Alice Cooper deep cut. I have no idea what that was. What was the name of that song?
I think it was Snakebite.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, that's some Alice Cooper deep cut action here.
Got past deep cut Joe. That's good. Way to go, Munson.
There you go. That was a deep cut AC/DC. It's High Voltage.
Yeah.
It's not really.
Great song. Yeah. Yeah, for them. But you're right. They anything by them works.
Big time AC/DC fan.
You really are big time?
I love them.
Oh, yeah. How do you not love AC/DC?
I got an update from these wings.
Oh, do you?
I'm texting with Chris Kirshner, who wrote that article.
Went straight to the source himself.
I went straight to the source himself. And
that?
I said, okay, give me a ranking between 1 and 10. He said, man, to be honest with you, it's like a 9. I didn't ask him why it was a 9 yet. But I also said, yeah, those wings are probably going to be selling like hotcakes. He said the line was thick the entire time I was there. Took 45 minutes to get my order because they were backed up.
I mean, Lou Williams absolutely deserves a cut
here. Oh, yeah.
Like, look what Lou Williams says. I never heard of Magic City Wings. Now I might want to go to Atlanta and go get some.
Maybe we'll go one day.
He said it took. It took 45 minutes.
Would you wait 45 minutes to get wings?
If they're that good, if they're worth a 10-day quarantine, yeah, for sure. I'll definitely.
I mean, I'm always in search of elite wings. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, by the way, kind of off topic, off this, but do you guys have air fryer?
Either of you?
Okay,
yeah.
You got an air fryer?
Oh yeah, of course.
Munson?
Yeah, I got an air fryer, definitely for sure.
Because grocery store frozen bags of wings that we would buy every once in a while, put in the oven, in an air fryer, are like, it's incredible. That to me is the number one reason to have an air fryer.
Air fryer.
There's a lot of other good reasons.
It's one of life's greatest inventions. I love it.
It has been life changing. It's been pandemic healing for us.
It has. Like, we got it as a wedding gift. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I probably don't use it as much as I should.
I'm putting random stuff in there.
Oh yeah.
Like, just
I've cooked
just,
burgers in there. Like,
yeah.
Instead of grilling burgers, I was so lazy, I just stuck them in the air fryer. And I mean, they were okay. I'd probably still rather grill them, but
yeah,
it
you
turned
do
out
a lot
pretty
of
well.
Stuff. Yeah. So there you go. Now, it's not Magic City quality, but much better quality.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic just tweeted, "I have never been to a strip club, but I might for chicken wings." So this is what Lou Williams has done.
I'm
Magic City
you.
Wings, baby.
Lou Williams.
I would love to do that and broadcast it. Like, take Vingan to Magic City to buy wings.
To buy wings?
As a live remote. That's an idea.
I also have to ask permission from someone close to him.
Yes. Before
we take him out there.
Yes.
I think Bridget should go, too.
Everybody's welcome. There are wings there.
Everybody wants some wings, man.
Everything. Look, if it takes you 45 minutes to get a thing of wings, like, Lou Williams may be on to something on these wings, man. We may need to get some of these wings here to Nashville.
Hey, I'm sure there's a way we can do it.
What's best wings you've ever had?
Best wings I've ever had. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to think about that.
Sweetwater Tavern, downtown Detroit.
Really? Detroit?
Oh, unbelievable. Because I like there. It's like the dry rub.
Yeah.
Dry rub can be bad, but if they're good, I think they're the best. And these are spicy, smoky, dry rub wings. Sweetwater Tavern, Detroit, Michigan.
Adam just texted me. He said he's down.
Okay.
So if we
there
can
we
make,
go.
Look, I think, because I think we can make this a road trip between the three of
in
us.
In a different time of life.
The three of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, maybe not right now, but yeah.
And Vingan. Yeah, because Chris did tell me. He was like, hey, if you are going to go, he said, mask up. There ain't no social distancing.
Magic City's not a big social distancing place, yeah.
Well, I've been told by Pete Weber that, and this is not some government secret, Buffalo, there's wings everywhere.
Anchor Bar.
Yeah.
No, I've had amazing wings there, for sure.
I've never been to Buffalo, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's where it was.
That's where it was invented. Yes.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah.
Like, anybody who knows me, like, knows I love wings. Like, I am a wing, like, connoisseur. Like, I have to have perfection. Like, have to have a lot of meat on there. It can't be like the little baby wings. If your place sells baby wings that are small, I'm not going.
Boneless wings are
boneless,
inhuman, awful. Why would you ever eat a boneless wing? You don't like boneless wings, right?
No, I don't.
I mean, I like them, but it's not my first choice.
I mean,
I like the bone. I'm eating an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want bone. I want to be able to break them off and then, like, just be
It's all about dedication. Like, you know, I one of my friends one time was eating, you know, bone-in wing and was eating it, I guess, so violently that part of the wing got stuck in their gum. Like, we had to get tweezers out at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Like the bone got stuck in the gum. Wow.
I had to get tweezers out at Buffalo Wild Wings and yank that thing out.
That's aggressive.
In public. It was awesome. I enjoyed it. So he was borderline in tears. It was awesome.
Let's bring him to Magic City, too.
Right?
Is there a food?
We'll all get vaccinated and go to Magic City.
Is there a food that you guys are willing to do a 10-day quarantine for? Is there something that you guys are willing to do a 10-day quarantine and miss out on the show?
Oh, man. I mean, everybody that follows me on Twitter would probably say anything from Cracker Barrel, but I eat it so much, I'm not worried. I'm not sure I'd do 10 days of quarantine for it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Like for me, it would be In-N-Out Burger. Like, I would fly.
Really?
I would fly to the nearest In-N-Out Burger, which would probably be Texas, and get an In-N-Out burger and then do a 10-day quarantine afterwards.
I'm so glad that
or
you're
a Whataburger.
I'm so sick of hearing people talk about how overrated In-N-Out burger is. It's not overrated.
It's always
so much
the people
better
who,
than Whataburger.
Who's only had it
once. Is better than Whataburger. I will say I like Five Guys better than In-N-Out. I really do.
See, is Five Guys fast food?
I mean, I got the other day.
That counts.
Okay. I think I had a Five Guys burger with jalapenos in it that was awfully good. I'd still go In-N-Out by a nose over that one. But, I mean, that's they're both better than Whataburger. What do you get at In-N-Out burger?
Well, what I get, I just get a regular double cheeseburger. Maybe I'll get animal style on my fries. And then I usually get a shake. So it's usually because when you go to places like that, it can't be just regular generic soda. Like, you got to do the burger, fries, and shake. Like,
go all out.
That's the whole point of those burger spots.
You ever get the Chili's with the onions on it? Yeah. See, that's where it's
to
another level.
I had In-N-Out for the first time on January the 1st after the Winter Classic.
Oh, okay.
In Dallas. That's the first time I've ever had it. I loved it. I thought it was good.
There's a lot of it's overrated. Again, like, we're talking about fast food here. It's not filet mignon. Like, I'm not saying it's better than non-fast food
stuff.
Yeah,
people's argument is, people only like In-N-Out Burger because it's cheaper. Yeah, it's cheaper. It's fast food. What do you expect it to be?
Right.
You're like, $12 for a burger? No, thank you. I'll pass.
Like, I'll take prime rib if that's the choice, or, you know, like a lobster roll. Right? But we're talking about fast food burgers.
All right, so let's think of a spot in Nashville that we would do a 10-day quarantine for.
Well, Aaron on Twitter has said, real talk, y'all need to hit up the dry rub wings from Peg Leg Porker. I have heard very good things.
Let me write that down.
Okay,
let me write that down.
Well, Martin's in my town, the original in my town of Nolensville. Their wings are awesome, too, the dry rub wings. So, really strong. But I haven't tried those, so we could do a another field trip. I mean, we could do a lot of eating field trips, really.
Yeah. No,
I'm always down for some food, Joe. I mean, you never invited me out to dinner, you know, but it's fine.
You never invited me.
I've went to dinner with Robbie plenty of times.
It's happened.
Well, you guys are in a different generation than me.
See, man, all you got to do I have to ask the wife to, like, hey, can Joe hang out with us, please?
Can she come?
Yeah, she can come.
Sure. All right, there you go.
I mean, Robbie brings his wife.
Yeah,
I've had food with Robbie and his wife.
It's happened.
That's what was it?
It was pizza, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember where, but it's pizza.
Yeah, it was pizza in Midtown somewhere. Yeah. This was
pre-quarantine.
It was the beginning of pandemic.
Like right before
it was like right because
we still had sports.
Yeah, we still had sports. This was I want to say SEC basketball tournament weekend.
Yes. So right before. Yeah, right before.
Right before.
So that was when they canceled the season. Well, they canceled the tournament.
The
so
world.
It was the whole world. They didn't cancel the whole world yet, Joe.
Yeah,
they gave it some time before they actually did that. But hey, apparently, look, these wings are good. We may need to try these out. I don't know if they deliver this far, but, I mean, this may need to be a field trip.
Is it just a one place,
one location?
One location in Atlanta, is that right?
Yes.
I mean,
Magic
City strip clubs?
There's going to be like five or six more that are going to pop up from this.
Joe Rexroad, if you've ever listened to any hip-hop song of the 2003, 2004 from any Atlanta rapper, you would know that there's only one Magic City.
Yeah.
Young Jeezy will tell you that there's only one Magic City Joe Retro.
There's where old guy kicks in. I'm like, don't listen to that new stuff.
I don't listen to that
newfangled stuff.
Our good friend Johnny on Twitter says, I know I got to try In-N-Out the next time I get to the west coast of the U.S. once the border reopens. But for now, it's Canada's A&W. It's different than the U.S. version, apparently.
Is really? It A&W root beer? Like the spot?
Well,
he said it's different.
Burgers.
Okay. I can take that.
I like their burgers.
I just don't like the In-N-Out haters. Like, I just can't.
No, I know.
Because it's annoying. Like, go take your Whataburger. It's fine. Whataburger's good. Like, I don't have beef with
Whataburger. I like Whataburger.
It's second to me. If I had a choice between the three, it'd be In-N-Out, Whataburger, and then Five Guys. Because Five Guys is expensive.
Five Guys is expensive.
It is pretty expensive, but it is worth it. And their fries are really good.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't think you should rate it based on cost.
You know what I mean? If I rate it based on taste, it's still
Whataburger.
We're talking just quality.
It's still – so Whataburger over five, guys?
I just like how big the Whataburger burgers are.
Okay.
Like they're massive. Mm-hmm. So that's why. I like to have enough food. Like if I'm going to pay $10 for something, like give me some – like that's why I don't like paying like $10 for like a 10-piece like wings and they're like this small, like – I don't want those wings. You take those baby wings somewhere else. Go feed those to a kid. Those to a grown man who wants some meat on his wings. Get this out of here.
Like some big drumsticks.
Yeah, right. I want some big drumsticks. I don't want these little baby wings. Like most of the famous spots in Tuscaloosa that have wings are wings that are like small. And I don't want those.
No.
Who cares?
It's like, a waste of time.
Go feed those. Go put those on a kid's menu. I'm a real man here. I'm 30. Like, I need real wings.
It's like Mike Gundy over here.
Yeah. Get old baby wings.
I'm 30.
If I got to go to a strip club to get some good wings around here, something's wrong with society here. Someone's not making good wings here.
Hey, apparently we know one that does.
Yeah, we do. When we come back, Albert Breer, NFL reporter from the MMQB, will join us. We'll dive back into some NFL conversations. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.